In animation, shiny letters ENNE slide up from behind a black sphere against a dark background, forming a logo Entertainment One. We quickly fly away from the Earth and our galaxy as a logo forms against a shining nebula. Logo, Lionsgate. A logo appears against a black background. Hanwei Films. A line turns into a rectangle which unfolds, forming two words, Snoot Films. The foot of a man having sex on a bed can be seen through a slit in the door to a bedroom. On the bed, a naked man lies on top of a young woman who wears an open shirt. She looks slightly disgusted and covers herself as the pudgy, scruffy, dark-haired man rolls on his back.
Oh, yeah.
He gets up and walks away as she lies motionless on the bed. She sits on the edge of the bed and puts on underwear. She walks away down a hallway in a house at night. She's in her 20s with long brown hair and wears the same open man's shirt as she walks down a staircase. Several lamps shine dimly around the house. From across the backyard, we see her walk past a large window as a light turns on next to her. She stops and then turns around and looks at the backyard. She slowly walks up to the open window and looks outside. She looks anxious. She glances at a wind chime made of forks and knives moving in the wind. Then she looks around and slides the window closed. She walks up to a counter and opens a CD tray on a DVD player. She puts in a homemade CD and presses a button. The display reads Disc 1, Disc Repeat. Three ice cubes fall into a glass. Transparent liquid pours in. Now orange liquid. She walks towards the staircase with the drink in her hand. Under the shower, the man rinses his hair. She sits on the bed and takes a sip of the orange drink. She licks her lips and looks at the bed as she takes another sip. A bright light comes through the window. She turns around slowly. The man draws the shower curtain and grabs a towel. He dries his face. He walks out of the bathroom, drying his hair with a towel. He leaves the towel and takes a sip of the orange drink. He turns around and stares at the window. His reflection appears through blurry red letters written on the window's pane. He slowly walks up to the window. The words, "You're next," are written in blood from the outside. He touches the glass and then looks down. The young woman lies dead on the floor in a puddle of blood. He gasps in horror and steps away from the window. As he turns around, a figure wearing a white lamb mask chokes him and lifts up a machete. The machete comes down and blood splatters against the window. The screen turns black. A rural scene appears. An SUV moves down a highway and passes a silo and several leafless trees. It moves along a dry dirt road towards a forest, lifting a cloud of dust as it goes. A low sun shines on the horizon. Inside the car, a man drives as a woman sits in the passenger seat holding her face with a gloved hand.
Huh. Looks like Eric Carson's home.
They see an expensive car parked in a rural house's driveway.
Wife for some college student. He might be living here full time now.
Oh, that's a shame.
We're so isolated up here, it might be nice to have a neighbor.
She looks at him and then looks away. They drive past thousands of leafless trees. The screen turns black. The SUV drives up to a big house in front of an open park and stops. Now the man takes a piece of luggage out of the trunk and puts it on the ground. He does the same with another one, and the woman shuts the trunk.
Okay.
They drag the two pieces of luggage up to the house, and the man puts a key in the lock. He turns the key, steps back, and stares at the door.
That's funny.
What?
It's open.
He opens the door and walks in. She looks uneasy. She shuts the door behind her.
Doesn't look like anyone's been in here.
The furniture is covered with cloth.
Oh, you know, I bet the workmen left the door open last time they were here.
She walks into a large classical dining room.
I'll get the groceries out of the car and check on the furnace.
She leaves her purse in the chair and removes the cloth covering a large table. Now a car travels at night down a countryside road. A young woman shines a light on a map in the passenger seat.
So your parents are pretty loaded, right?
A bearded man sits at the wheel.
Yeah, I guess. My dad retired from KPG last year and he got an insane severance package.
Wait, KPG? As in the defense contractor?
He smiles, clenching his teeth.
Yeah.
And looks at her.
It was just in marketing, though.
She purses her lips.
Why?
She smiles.
Is that a problem for you, babe? Having dinner with fascists?
No. I want to meet your family. I hope this means there's going to be some good booze at your place, though.
He purses his lips.
Probably not. My mom's on medication.
She looks at him and then looks ahead.
Can we stop somewhere and get something?
Yes, we should. Good call.
Yes.
Clouds arc across the night sky over the countryside mansion. The woman sweeps the kitchen floor using an old broom and crouches to collect a dirt and a dustpan. She walks into the dining room and empties it. The house shakes and the chandelier vibrates. She looks startled.
Hey, I lit the furnace.
Sorry. You okay?
She gasps and looks at the man, then collects herself.
Were you just upstairs?
No, I was in the basement.
Did you hear that just now?
Hear what?
I heard...
She looks at the ceiling.
Footsteps. I think someone's in the house.
Are you sure?
Paul, we gotta get out of here.
She runs towards the front door.
Aubrey.
Hurry up.
No. You go outside. I'm gonna check the upstairs.
You come outside with me.
It's just a creaky old house.
Paul, there is someone up there.
She stares at him. He sighs, and then picks up a cane from a basket.
I'll take this with me, okay? Are you happy?
No.
All right, you wait outside. I'll be out in a minute.
Careful.
I will.
He closes the front door as she leaves. He looks at the floor and shakes his head slightly. He walks towards a wooden staircase and goes up a flight of stairs. He stops a moment and then continues walking up the stairs slowly. He stops on a landing.
Hello?
He slowly walks towards a hallway. Aubrey stands outside the front door and hugs herself in the cold night. She looks anxious. Inside, a shadow passes in front of a door. The door opens and Paul leans in. He walks into a dark room as he gently pushes the door open. He turns on the lights and looks around. He walks towards the bathroom. And stops. He turns around in the dim light and slowly walks towards the door. He grabs the doorknob. The young man that was driving the car holds Paul's shoulder.
Crispin!
Dad!
You scared the shit out of me!
Yeah.
They both pant and laugh. Paul wipes his forehead.
Not to get off on the wrong foot here, but, why is Mom in the driveway crying?
Oh, God, come with me.
Paul walks away. Crispin follows him and shuts the door behind him. We slowly turn towards the door through which Paul had first come in. It moves slightly open. Paul walks out of the house, still holding the cane.
Hey.
He walks up to Aubrey and the young woman.
You okay?
Aubrey shuts her eyes.
Crispin and I looked in every room on the second floor. There's nobody there.
Crispin walks up to the woman.
I'm so silly. Honey, I'm sorry.
He shakes his head.
You're embarrassed.
No, I'm not.
You must be Aaron.
And hugs Aubrey.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Glad you could make it.
Yeah. Paul greets Aaron.
Hey, you, come here.
And hugs Aubrey.
It's okay. Oh, we brought whiskey. Well, come on in.
We'll be there in a minute.
Aubrey and Paul walk into the house. Crispin and Aaron stand still, looking at them. Then he clenches his teeth as she laughs.
What's going on?
I don't ask. I don't know.
He walks away from her. Water pours into a bathroom sink. Aaron brushes her teeth in front of a mirror. She bends down and spits.
So your dad bought this place to fix up.
Crispin tidies a bed in the room.
It's supposed to be his retirement project, something for him to work on, but I'm pretty sure so far he's just paid other people to work on it.
He flings pillows to the floor as she walks out of the bathroom. She hops onto the bed.
You can't break this bed. It's like 100 years old.
Sorry. Your folks seem cool.
She smiles.
I mean, for people with money, you're lucky.
He lies down.
There you are. You don't know what most people would give to have folks like yours.
She looks down.
Whatever that means.
She turns the night lamp off and smiles at him.
Mm-hmm. Come here.
Then cuddles with him and closes her eyes.
Your brothers and sister get in tomorrow?
Yeah. Tomorrow is my parents' actual anniversary.
35 years, can you imagine?
No, I can't, really.
He smiles and then looks serious.
Well, I look forward to meeting the rest of your family tomorrow.
There's something. It's been a long time since we've all been together, so it should be interesting.
How so?
You'll see.
She smiles at him. A dim light shines in through a small glass window on the front door. Aubrey turns a light on and walks into the dining room wearing a nightgown. Then she walks into the kitchen and turns the lights on. We see her from the outside through the kitchen windows. She opens a very old refrigerator and takes out a bottle of water. From outside, we see her pouring water into a glass. The reflection of a white fox mask appears from the outside of the kitchen window as Aubrey puts a pill in her mouth and drinks water. She walks back to the fridge and puts the bottle in. Then she walks out of the kitchen as she turns off the lights. She walks across the dining room and the lights go off there too. Crispin's closed eyes move around. They open. Crispin sits up in bed and rubs his eyes. It's morning. He walks down the ornate wooden staircase in daylight. He walks into the living room where Aaron and two young people sit on armchairs around a TV set.
Two like kangaroos fight guys named like Gentleman Jack.
Yeah. Serious.
Twisty, curly.
Yeah,
hey.
Yeah.
Hey. Morning.
A young man shakes his hand and mockingly punches him.
Hey, you ever see kangaroos fight? Stop.
Crispin recoils as the man hits him gently. Then Crispin fights back and they play fight.
Don't hit me.
Come on. Pussy. You almost hit my face.
The man disregards Crispin as the woman stands up.
Don't kiss my wife.
Thank you.
Crispin kisses her on the cheek.
Sick. Lovely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Crispin kisses Aaron on the mouth and sits next to her.
Reminds me of when you were a kid. You should have seen him.
No, you shouldn't have.
Yeah? Yeah. He's like a little, sleepy, chubby angel.
Really?
Cheer up. Yeah.
Aaron plays with Crispin's cheeks.
He's only a little chubby.
I have a round face. It doesn't mean that I'm fat.
That's right. It doesn't mean he's fat.
No, it means he's beautiful.
All the fat on him means he's fat.
Okay.
Don't go just by his face.
A wrestling match appears on the TV screen. Now Aaron stands looking at an old picture of Aubrey. She puts chewing gum in her mouth as she looks at the picture, in which Aubrey and Paul sit in an armchair and three men, including Crispin and a young woman, stand behind them. The picture hangs from a wooden wall in a golden frame. Gloved hands rinse a glass. Aaron walks into the kitchen smiling.
Hey.
Aubrey turns around.
Hello. I was just wondering if you need any help in here with anything.
I think I'm all set.
She nods at Aaron and continues washing the dishes.
Actually, Aaron.
Yeah.
I am out of milk.
She squints at Aaron.
Oh, okay. Could you go over to the neighbor's house and see if he has some? His name's Aaron.
Okay.
Well, I'll be right back.
Aaron smiles and nods. She turns around and leaves as Aubrey continues rinsing the dishes. Now she walks at the back of the house.
How's this look, Drake?
Beautiful.
She walks down a few steps and sees Crispin drinking beer. His brother and Paul paint something.
I don't know about this grain. What's going on over here?
Work.
Crispin sees her.
Hey, babe.
Boys, looks so adorable. You hold that? Ready?
She takes a picture of the three men, then looks at it and smiles.
Beautiful.
Come join us, Aaron.
Actually, your mom just asked me to go to your neighbors to see if I could borrow some milk.
Really?
Yeah.
All
right. I'll be back in a minute.
She gestures, "I'm watching you," to Crispin, who smiles and watches her leave. His brother gives the same gesture.
Don't start. Don't start with me.
I'm gonna go check on Kelly. Looks so good, Dad.
Thanks, Drake.
Crispin shakes his head as Drake walks away, and Paul continues painting. Paul looks up at Crispin.
So how'd that fellowship thing turn out?
He looks down and frowns.
Not so good.
No?
No, I guess there were a lot of applicants this year, and I haven't exactly been published recently, so...
Paul raises his eyebrows.
Well, there are some people that aren't published that do get the fellowship, you know.
And stares at Crispin, who looks uncomfortable and sighs. Drake walks into a room as Kelly wraps a towel around her head in the bathroom. He looks at something on a table.
Shut the door!
He closes the door and walks up to Kelly, who looks at herself closely in the mirror.
Where did your brother find that girl?
They both look in the mirror.
I don't know. Student? Former student?
Huh.
Current student?
She takes off the towel and brushes her hair.
Oh, that shit was kind of annoying.
The accent's just, like, so jarring to me.
He unfastens her bra as she brushes her hair and kisses her neck, but she pulls away from him.
Okay, I'm not feeling this right now, okay?
She puts down the brush and puts her bra back on. He stares at her through the mirror.
Don't give me that look.
She shakes her hair back as he walks away frowning.
Do you have any Vicodin?
Yeah, it's in my purse.
Erin walks on a quiet dirt road in the forest as she chews gum. She walks up to a house by which a very fancy sports car is parked. She walks up to the front door and knocks. She looks down. Inside, the DVD player display reads, "Disc repeat," and it starts counting from zero. Eric's pale, naked body sits on the couch in the living room. Outside, Erin walks away from the door looking around. And then leaves the front porch and walks away across the front garden. Now a car's headlights turn off at night. A woman drags two wheeled bags towards the door.
Amy! Hi, Mommy!
Aubrey hugs her as a man walks up to them.
Look at you. You are so beautiful.
Thank you.
Another man walks up.
You look great.
Thank you.
You must be Tariq.
Yes, nice to meet you.
Nice.
Tariq and Aubrey shake hands. She looks at the other man.
My little Felix.
Hi, Mom.
They hug.
I'd like you to meet Z, my girlfriend.
They turn around to a young woman smoking.
Two E's. Z-E-E.
Wow, that's unique. Nice to meet you, Z.
Z nods, looking bored.
Come inside, everyone. Come in.
Aubrey walks into the house, followed by Amy and Tariq.
Where's Crispin? Can you bring us some coffee?
Felix walks in. Z stops by the door and takes a puff as she looks back. Amy hugs Crispin excitedly. He looks uncomfortable and smiles.
This is my boyfriend.
He shakes Tariq's hand.
Oh, you must be Erin.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you're so beautiful.
Amy hugs Erin.
Thank you.
So
hey,
good.
See you.
The rest shake hands and turns.
Yeah, nice to meet
hey,
you.
I heard a lot about you.
Oh. And Zay, right? Erin.
I know.
Hey, where's my princess?
Daddy!
Amy runs up to Paul and hugs him.
This is my boyfriend, Tariq.
Hey, how are you?
Nice to meet you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Would like a glass of wine?
Awesome.
I'll take some wine.
Okay, let me take care of that right now. Felix?
Dad.
I just want you all to know.
They all look at Aubrey.
How much it means to us that you're all here, so thank you for coming.
She turns around and leaves. Erin looks at Crispin.
Oh, she's so cute.
Who smiles. Now we see the front door from across the front garden. We see the house from a distance. Fire crackles in a hearth.
Let's bow our heads.
The whole family sits around the dinner table. They hold hands as Paul bows his head.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy food.
Z chews gum.
Feed our souls on the bread of life and help us to do our part with kind words and loving deeds. Amen.
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 They let go of each other.
And thanks to Mom and Dad for having us all here together.
It's our pleasure.
Thank you.
Crispin looks annoyed as Aubrey looks at Drake tenderly. Drake turns to Tariq.
So, Tariq, what do you do?
I'm a filmmaker.
Is that right?
Oh, wow.
That's right.
Yeah, he's really good.
I don't think I know any filmmakers. That is
exotic.
So
there's not a lot of us out there.
Interesting.
Well, I've only made...
TV?
I've not on TV. I've only made one documentary. It was at the Cleveland Underground Film Festival, 2008.
What is an underground film festival? Do they show them movies underground?
No. They show them above ground, but they...
It's really
Crispin and Erin eat playfully.
Well, like an intellectual film festival. Yeah. I just think, do you do commercials? Because those are my favorite.
No.
Mm-mm, no.
No, he doesn't do commercials.
Really? I just think that is just the height of the art form these days.
Felix stares at Z, who giggles.
Punchy. You really gotta just zing the ideas on in there.
That's why I watch TV these days.
That's why I watch. I mean, it's better than the shows now.
Well, he makes documentaries, so...
It's different.
Yeah, but I think that I've seen documentary commercials. I don't think they have to be limited to any particular thing.
Tariq looks uneasy and drinks wine as Amy glares at Drake.
The artist thing just never made sense to me. No. I just think you should consider it.
Crispin steals Aaron's full glass of wine, and she looks playfully offended. Drake stares at Erin.
That was mine.
Who giggles at Crispin?
So, Aaron, are you still in school?
Yes, I am. I'm in my final year. I'm finishing my master's.
That's great.
In what?
Good for you.
In literature.
Wow.
So, were you a student of Crispin's?
I was. But I'm not anymore.
Crispin glares at Drake.
Not anymore. She was my TA, but we stopped because we figured that that was inappropriate.
Aaron and Crispin drink wine as Drake nods.
It's a little unprofessional.
What?
What's that?
What you just said. What was that?
About what?
You said it's unprofessional. Is there something else you wanted to say to me?
No, I was just agreeing with you.
You weren't agreeing with me.
I was. I mean, I thought he said it was unprofessional.
Don't look at her. I'm right here.
Crispin.
What?
We're having a dinner here.
I'm having a conversation with my brother. Is there something that you want to say? Because I feel like...
What do you... I don't know what you want.
I don't think that you're in any position to be judging my moral
decisions. Who says I'm judging you?
You are with your eyes.
I'm tired of it. Semantics conversation.
The whole time you've been...
Tariq looks uneasy.
And I'm not putting up with it anymore.
Felix takes a deep breath.
So jealous of you.
I'm jealous of you.
I'm, you know what? I'm glad that this is coming.
I'm jealous of you.
I'm jealous of you.
Tariq sees something in the background.
Always
what have I done?
Who have I been jealous of?
He stands up, staring at something. Amy looks anxious. Tariq walks up to the window slowly as he stares outside. The window breaks.
You look like the elephant man.
Aaron turns around slowly. She sees bits of glass on the floor. She looks up and sees the broken window.
What can you not believe? Go ahead and tell me what you can possibly not believe. What could possibly come out of your mouth that's even remotely interesting or of merit or of value? I mean, I've had enough.
The whole family stares at Tariq in horror. He stands still with an arrow piercing right through the middle of his forehead. They all stand up screaming except for Amy. Felix and Z run. Paul twists his ankle. Amy hides under the table and touches Tariq. Kelly sees a bolt hit a chair. Amy claws at Tariq's body. Aaron grabs her. From outside, we see a crossbow aim at Aubrey. Drake grabs her and a bolt strikes his back. He falls as Aubrey remains paralyzed in terror. Another bolt flies in through a window and breaks a vase. Kelly covers her mouth. Aaron crawls under the table and sees Drake.
Aubrey, get down!
Get down, get down!
Aaron pulls Aubrey down.
Get down!
Drake convulses with the bolt sticking out of his back. Felix and Z hide behind a wall. Crispin drags Drake towards the rest, hiding behind the chairs opposite the window.
Hey.
Aaron holds Kelly's face.
It's okay. Look at me. Look at me. You're going to be fine, okay? Just stay down. Okay.
Aaron, Felix, Crispin, and Polly use their cell phones.
I don't understand this. I had a signal today. I was able to use the phone today.
Does anyone have a signal?
Yeah, they must be using a jammer.
What?
A cell phone blocker. They're illegal, but you can get them on the internet for like $30.
Felix, you fucking lowlife.
What are you calling me a lowlife for, man? I'm just trying to help the situation.
That's no fucking surprise. You're not sketchy.
Another arrow flies in through a window and hits the family portrait. Crispin helps Drake run out of the dining room. From outside, we see the crossbow aim at them as they go. Aaron pulls a chair. She touches Kelly, who picks up a chair and runs past the window. Aaron pulls another chair and grabs Amy. From outside, we see Amy run past the window, covering herself with a chair. She joins Felix and Z in the hallway. Aaron holds Aubrey and pulls her up. Paul grabs a chair and pulls Aubrey up. He drags her across the dining room as the crossbow follows their movement past the window. Aaron looks around and grabs the middle poker from the fireplace. She grabs a chair and runs. An arrow hits the chair. She drops it, dashes away, and lands on the hallway floor. Crispin holds her.
We have to pull this out or
Yes.
Amy stares at the bolt sticking out from Drake's back. Crispin drags himself up to the wall. Aaron presses Drake's back around the arrow. Crispin covers his head. Amy helps Aaron press as Aubrey covers her face. Aubrey hands Kelly her purse.
Keep hands on it.
Aaron presses Z's hands over the wound. Amy shakes against a wall. Aaron gives Drake a pill and stands next to the door with Paul. They look out.
What is going on?
I have no fucking idea.
Do you see anyone?
I don't see anyone. Do you see anyone?
No. We need to do something. Somebody should make a run for the cars.
No.
Try to go
no,
get help.
No, we can't go out there.
Mom, it's the only way. It's the only way we're out of this. Whoever's the fastest runner. Who is that?
Crispin looks dazed.
I've got this fucking arrow in my back.
What does your shoulder have to do with your legs? I'm the fastest.
He has a fucking arrow in his back.
Stop yelling at me, Kelly.
Run.
I fucking know what it has to do with your legs if you never run, you fat fuck.
I'm not.
We believe in you. We believe in you.
Amy stands up and takes her earrings off.
Amy, you can do this. I believe in you, okay? You just have to get out where you can make a phone call and get help. Z, help me move this. Help me get this out of the way.
Z and Felix move a table and drop a vase on the floor. Amy takes off her jacket and breathes heavily.
You can do this, Daddy. Get down.
Aaron pulls Z down.
It's open at the last second. They're not going to be expecting her to be coming out full speed.
Amy takes off her high-heeled shoes and stares at the door. Paul looks at her with eyes wide open. Crispin holds Aaron, who looks at the door. Amy nods at Paul. He nods back. She cricks her neck to one side and another as Paul and Felix hold both doors firmly. Paul unlocks the door. In slow motion, Amy winces in terror and starts running towards the door. She dashes across the hallway as Paul and Felix open the doors and she gives one step outside. A deep gash appears on her throat and she falls on her back, covering it with her hands. Paul and Felix drag her back in. Aaron shuts the doors. Aubrey grabs her head in despair as Amy chokes on her own blood. As the family crowds around Amy, Aaron looks out through a small window and sees a thin metal cable trembling across the entrance as blood drips from it. Amy gasps as she continues losing blood. Crispin stands by her, stunned and gaping. Aaron walks up to them. Amy chokes in a pool of blood as Aubrey, Paul, and Kelly grab her. She stops moving. Paul holds Aubrey. Felix stares at his dead sister as Zeke cringes next to him. Drake stares listlessly. Aaron stands next to the door paralyzed, holding the poker in her hand. She turns around and runs up the staircase. Crispin chases after her. Kelly weeps desperately.
What are you doing?
Crispin walks into a room.
We need to make sure all the doors and the windows are locked.
Aaron hurries out of the room.
What?
She walks down a passage and into another room. Crispin leans against a wall and breathes deeply. Aaron walks out of the room, looking at her cell phone. Crispin stops
her. Hey. What are you doing?
Some places, if you text 911, they get it as a voicemail. If you haven't had one by, you can send a text. Come on.
These things are useless.
She types into her phone.
I'll have her keep trying.
She walks away. Crispin stares at her. She walks down into the hall.
The hall is clear. She'll be safer than down here.
Come on.
Z and Felix cover Amy with a white cloth.
Oh, my God.
I'm taking her upstairs.
Paul drags Aubrey away. Aaron stares at Amy's body. She crouches next to Drake.
Drake, we need to take care of the shoulder.
Fine, I can't feel it anymore.
Are you sure?
Drake touches his back.
Okay, we're all gonna get out of this. We need to cover up and lock all the windows.
She walks up to the front door and locks it. Crispin stares at her.
I've never seen you act like this before.
Oh, it's a unique situation.
We still need someone to go outside and try to get some help.
No, I think we should stay in here and lock everything and wait till the police come by. In fact, we should hang a sign out an upstairs window, SOS or something.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I can push you up a bit upstairs.
She walks away and Crispin follows her. Paul drags Aubrey into a room.
We're almost there. Come on.
He helps her lie down on a bed. She shuts her eyes and grabs her stomach. Paul covers her with a blanket. She holds him.
Stay with me.
I have to go check on the kids.
They look into each other's eyes. He strokes her and lays his head on her arm. Then he leaves as she breathes and fits. He turns off the light. She rolls on her side, gaping. Tariq's dead body lies on the dining room floor as he shuts the curtains as Felix covers Tariq with a white cloth. Paul walks into the dining room and holds Kelly's hand. Aaron grabs a butcher's knife from the kitchen counter and quickly shuts the kitchen windows. Aubrey weeps in her bed. A male hand wearing a black fingerless glove slides out from under the bed. A figure wearing a white fox mask slowly comes up behind Aubrey. The killer stands up, brandishing a large machete in his right hand. Aubrey turns around towards the killer and gasps as he strikes. Paul and Drake finish dragging a cabinet in front of a window. Felix and Crispin look up. They all run upstairs. Aaron shuts another kitchen window. A hand breaks in and grabs her neck. She stabs the arm, pinning it to the window frame. She sees the killer dressed in black and wearing the white fox mask. She turns around and searches the drawers. She grabs another knife and turns around. The killer is gone. She walks up to the broken window as blood drips from the window frame. She looks outside cautiously. Aubrey's door bursts open, and Drake walks in, followed by Crispin and Paul. They all stare at the bed, stunned.
Oh my God.
Aubrey lies dead with a machete sticking out from her head. On the wall, the words, "You're next," are written in blood.
No.
Crispin holds Paul back. Drake stares at the scene and then walks out as Z stands by the door. Felix and Crispin drag Paul down the stairs and help him sit down. Kelly walks up to Aubrey's bed as, on the floor, a fallen night lamp flickers.
I have to go see her! Dad.
Crispin holds Paul back. Drake walks down the stairs and touches Paul's shoulder.
Stay down here with us.
He holds his hand as Paul weeps and leans against Drake. Drake stares at Crispin.
Why would anybody do this?
Who shakes his head. Inside the room, Kelly covers Aubrey's body with a blanket. Then she looks at the writing on the wall as the light flickers. She slowly walks up to the window and looks out. Nothing moves in the dim light outside. She looks back and then shuts the window. She looks at the wall and slowly crouches next to the bed. She slowly bends down and looks under the bed. A white fox mask appears. Erin looks up. Drake looks up the staircase. Kelly rushes downstairs past the men.
Kelly!
No, Drake!
She opens the front door and runs outside, crouching under the metal string. Drake chases after her, and the bolt in his back gets stuck in the string. He turns around wincing and plucks out the bolt in his back. Then he looks at it and passes out. Erin runs up to Crispin.
What happened?
Crispin and Erin run towards the front door. Kelly runs across the park in dim light, looking back from time to time. A masked figure hides behind one of the trees in the park and watches her run away. The murderer slowly walks in the direction Kelly ran, carrying a crossbow. Crispin and Erin drag Drake back inside. Erin looks at Felix.
Can you grab a rag?
Felix runs off as Z looks at Crispin.
Maybe we should try to run. I mean, Kelly made it. Let's get to a car or something.
Felix hands Erin a cloth, and she presses it against Drake's wound. Crispin stands up.
I'll try. You guys stay here.
No, wait. I'll come with you. Z, hold this.
Erin and Crispin stand by the front door, listening.
We'd have to carry Drake. And Dad. He can't run right now.
Erin looks back.
I'll go get the car. I'll bring it right up to the front door. Then you, Felix, Z, carry Drake and Dad out. Make sense?
Crispin stares at her.
Hey, it'll be okay. I can do this. Help me just a second.
She looks down.
Honey.
Take this.
She hands him a butcher's knife, and he takes it in his left hand. Then he opens the door and leaves. Erin shuts the door. Kelly runs past trees and bushes and into the neighbor's backyard. She stops and sees the lights on inside. She runs towards the house. As she gets to the window, a motion sensor light goes on. Inside, Eric's dead body still sits on the couch.
Let me in! What the fuck is wrong with you? Open the fucking door! Unlock the door! Let me in!
The reflection of a white fox mask appears on the window. Kelly gasps in horror and turns around. The killer punches her in the face and sends her flying through the window. She rolls on the floor full of pieces of glass as her face bleeds through dozens of small cuts. Crispin stands next to the open hood of a car. He looks around. And then crouches next to the car, breathing heavily, still holding the butcher knife. In the house, Kelly crawls across the floor with her bloody palms up. The killer walks slowly behind, following the trail of blood left by her. She crawls up to the couch and sees the dead body's face covered in dry blood as the killer stands behind her. The killer throws her onto a glass table, which shatters. She shakes on the floor as the killer walks up to her slowly and moves her with his foot. He stands behind her and swings an axe by her head in a golf-like motion. He digs the axe into her head and pants. The DVD player display reads disc repeat and starts counting. The killer lets go of the axe and looks at Kelly as blood oozes out from her open skull. Then he walks around her slowly and sits on the couch next to Eric's body. Life, He tilts his head slightly to the left.
I think it's safe to assume the other cars are out, but...
Aaron cringes next to Crispin as Felix looks very troubled.
I didn't see anybody out there. Maybe Kelly. Maybe she got past them. Maybe it gives us a chance.
What do you mean?
Crispin looks at Paul.
I'm going back out there.
Paul shakes his head.
No, you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see anyone. Maybe it's over.
Wait, so what? You're just going to leave the rest of us here?
Felix stares at Crispin, who looks down and then looks at Felix.
Clearly we need some help, man. We need to get somebody out there in here. I'm going to go to the neighbors. As soon as I'm a safe distance away, I'll try to text and call. You guys stay in here. Keep each other safe.
Z presses the cloth against Drake's wound. Felix looks at Paul.
I'll come right back.
Crispin walks away.
Wait, Crispin.
And Aaron follows him. She drags him into another room.
Let go. I'm serious.
He kisses her on the mouth. She shuts her eyes.
Everything's gonna be fine out there. You just stay in here. Take care of yourself. I'll come back soon.
She holds his face and looks at him in the eye.
Okay.
I promise.
He nods, his eyes filled with tears. She looks down with her eyes full of tears. Crispin opens the front door, steps out, and turns around to Aaron.
See you soon.
He cuts the metal string and leaves as Aaron shuts the door. She locks it and looks out the window. Then she slowly turns around.
I think it's safe to say at least one of them's already inside.
You think the person who killed my wife is still in this house?
I'd assume so, yeah.
She walks up to Z.
How is he, Z? Looks like the bleeding stopped.
Paul stares at the woman.
Let's get him in there. Hide him someplace safe. Felix, can you give us a hand?
Felix nods and walks up to them.
On three. One, two,
three. The three lift Drake up and carry him over to the window. They hide him behind the curtains. Aaron looks at Felix.
What's the best room for us all to be in?
I don't know. All the rooms have windows in them, except for the basement.
No, the basement's a bad idea. They could just pour gas down the stairs and throw in a match. We should stay in there and keep boarding up the windows. Shit, speaking of...
She leaps up and runs away. Water boils in a pot. She takes off her sweater and turns off the gas. She stares at the broken kitchen window. And then opens a drawer. She digs out several knives. Felix shuts the curtains, further hiding Drake. Aaron walks out of the kitchen carrying the knives and heads towards the rest.
Okay, we should each carry a weapon.
A window breaks and Aaron falls to the ground. In slow motion, the knives bounce on the floor and Felix pulls Z towards him. The killer with the white fox mask steps through the window over Kelly's body, brandishing the axe. Aaron rolls on her back and sees him walking towards her. He lifts up the axe and strikes. She rolls over just in time and kicks him hard in the crotch. The balding killer bends over in pain. Aaron turns around and grabs a meat tenderizer. She hits him in the knee. As he falls down, she hits him hard in the back of the head. He shakes and grabs his head. She gives him a final blow in the head and he falls to the ground. She smacks his head over and over with a meat tenderizer. Felix and Z stand still watching her. They wince and look stunned. Aaron stays crouched over the killer's body, panting. She slowly looks up at Felix and Z. Then she looks down again. Felix and Z slowly walk up to her as she gets up and unmasks the murderer.
Anyone know this guy?
She holds him up. Z and Felix look at him and shake their heads.
Well, it's kind of hard to tell.
Aaron looks at the man and drops him down. She picks up the meat tenderizer, stands up, and looks at the body. She grabs a towel, wipes her weapon, and turns around. Nearby, Kelly's body lies half through the window, covered in dry blood. Felix looks at Aaron.
Hey, I'm sure Crispin's fine. Crispin's a tough guy.
She looks at him.
No, he's not, but thanks. Thanks for the help, by the way.
Hey, you seem to have a handle on it.
Hey, don't worry about it. Hey, where's your dad?
A door opens. Paul walks into a room carrying a butcher's knife. He looks around. He walks up to a closet door just slightly open. He pulls the lights on and looks at the floor. A bunched up sleeping bag, two plastic bottles, and several crumpled candy wrappers lie on the floor. He crouches and picks up the bottle containing a yellow liquid. The lights go off in the entire house. Aaron looks around.
Where's the circuit box?
I don't know. I think it's in the basement. Look, why don't you go look for it there? I'm gonna go upstairs and try to find my dad.
Felix and Z walk away. Paul walks out of the closet and looks around. He walks up to a window at the end of the room. Looks around. And then slowly walks back out. A dark figure appears against the window. Paul opens a door. He looks inside. The lights go back on. Aaron stands in the basement. Paul takes a breath and closes the door. Felix and Z stand next to him. They stare at Paul, who looks around.
One of them was in the bedroom. They've been watching us for days.
He walks up to the couple slowly.
While we were sleeping. This wasn't a random attack, Felix.
He walks back into the room and turns to face them.
You understand what I'm saying? Our family's being...
A masked man grabs him from behind and slits his throat with the machete. Paul gasps and convulses. Felix and Z stand still. Paul grabs Felix's face with a bloody hand, and he moves away, looking disgusted. Paul stumbles around and walks backwards, shaking his arms in the air and gaping. He bumps into a table and knocks down a lamp. He falls to the floor convulsing and grabs his slit neck. He looks at Felix and Z, who calmly walk up to him. His hand trembles. And finally, he stops moving. The killer with the fox mask walks up to Felix and Z and looks at them. Felix stares at him.
Really? You had to do that right in front of me?
The killer takes a headphone out of his ear and turns to Felix.
Were you saying something?
Yeah, you know what? Never mind.
Felix looks at his father's dead body.
You okay?
He rubs his face.
Yeah, I just need to get washed up.
Felix walks away as Z and the killer look at Paul's body. Felix looks at himself in the mirror after washing the blood off. He touches his face and neck. He looks into his own eyes. In the basement, Aaron walks past a plastic curtain. She crouches and examines a jar. In the dining room, a masked man walks aiming a crossbow. He turns towards the kitchen. He wears the fox mask. Aaron walks slowly up the basement staircase holding the meat tenderizer in her right hand. She looks up and slightly back. The killer stands still in the dining room looking down. He crouches next to the dead killer's body and leaves the crossbow on the ground. Aaron walks up the basement stairs slowly. The killer stands up and topples the dining room table. In slow motion, all of the objects on the table crash on the dining room floor. Aaron crouches next to the shut basement door. The killer leans against a wall, covering his face with an arm. Then he turns around and picks up the crossbow. He slings it on his back and picks up the axe. He walks out of the dining room. Aaron listens carefully, still crouched in the basement, as a ray of light seeps in through the keyhole. She looks up. The killer leaves the axe on a table and bends over it, panting. Aaron carefully grabs a small pick and puts it in the back pocket of her jeans. The killer breathes heavily. He lifts up his mask and looks down. Aaron moves slightly and bumps into a rake. The killer turns his head around towards the kitchen. His eyes are watery. He slowly pulls down the mask and grabs the axe. He slowly turns around and walks towards the kitchen. Aaron crouches against the basement door. A shadow passes in front of the keyhole. Aaron turns around very slowly and creeps up to the keyhole. She sees an eye looking into hers. She falls back. The killer tries to open the door, but Aaron holds a doorknob from the inside. He hacks at the door using an axe, and it gets stuck in the broken door. He pulls the axe out as Aaron crawls back. Drake crawls out from behind the curtains as the killer gets ready to hack at the door. But Drake walks into his sight in the hallway.
Hey.
Drake looks up at him and opens his eyes wide.
Whoa. Whoa.
The killer straightens his head and walks towards Drake, who stumbles and falls on his back. Aaron runs out of the basement and stabs the killer's back with a short pick. The killer drops the axe and Drake picks it up. The killer runs out the front door. Aaron locks the door, looks through a window, and then looks at Drake, who still holds the axe. He stares at her.
I woke up in there.
Yeah, you blacked out. I breathed in hard, you.
He puts the axe down on a table.
Thanks.
Welcome.
He slides down against a wall, wincing.
Ah!
And sits on the floor. He touches his shoulder.
Where's Kelly?
Aaron looks away and then shakes her head.
I don't know.
Felix and Z run downstairs.
You guys okay? What's going on? We heard noises, so we stayed upstairs. What happened?
Aaron walks towards them.
One of them came in and attacked us. I stabbed him and he ran away.
She helps Drake up.
You stabbed him?
Yep.
Do you think you might have killed him?
No, he ran out the door. Was there anyone upstairs?
We didn't find anyone. Whoever was there could have climbed out the window.
Is he dead okay?
Yeah, he just needed to lie down.
Z looks at Aaron.
How many of them do you think there are?
There'd have to be at least two more of them.
Well, maybe they're gone. Maybe you scared them off.
Drake winces. Aaron helps him up.
I mean, let's not count on that. There's some tools in the basement that I think we could use. Let's head down there.
Aaron and the rest walk in the basement.
Okay. Grab anything sharp or heavy that might make a good weapon, but you need to do it fast. We've got to be upstairs.
Yeah, let's go through Dad's tools. There's plenty of stuff we can use there.
See, can you grab this?
Aaron hands Z a plank.
Okay. That'll be enough to get started. Let's go. And don't take too long!
Now, Aaron covers Kelly's body with a white cloth. She crouches next to her and stops for a moment.
let me show you something quickly.
Z walks up to Aaron, who crouches behind the door holding a hammer.
Okay, so you just want to make sure that the nail goes all the way through.
Aaron nails a wooden plank into the door.
See that?
Z nods.
Just do, say, 4 or 5 on this one, and we'll just do as many as we can.
Okay.
Z picks up a hammer and looks at it.
Can I ask you something? How did you learn all this stuff?
Well, I had kind of a weird childhood. I grew up on a survivalist compound. I haven't even told Crispin that yet.
Z nods at her.
Good answer.
And hammers a nail.
Well, I guess when I was born, my dad got kind of paranoid. He was just convinced that the world was going to run out of resources in a matter of years.
Aaron hammers a nail.
He found a lot of guys who agreed with him, and we all moved to the outback. I mean, basically, if things got too overpopulated, even out there, he wanted me to be able to take care of myself. Moved to the States with Mum when I was 15, but I learned a lot beforehand.
Z shrugs.
Well, that's crazy.
And hammers a nail. In the basement, Felix walks up to Drake carrying a bucket. He puts the bucket down as Drake inspects tools set on a table.
So nobody knows where Crispin is?
He looks at Felix.
No, he ran out right after Kelly did.
Who puts gloves on.
I gotta go look for him. I at least have to try. I can't leave Kelly out there.
Felix stares at him.
What do you mean? Drake, Kelly's dead.
Drake stares at Felix.
What?
Kelly's dead. You didn't know that? Look, I'm sorry. I didn't want to have to tell you like this, but she got killed. Her body's up there on the floor right now.
Drake drops his head and starts weeping.
Drake, I'm sorry.
Shut up! Felix!
I cared about her.
Shut up! Stop! Stop talking!
Felix stabs Drake with a pick. Drake looks at it and then looks at Felix.
I'm sorry.
Felix pulls the pick out as Drake stares at him disbelievingly. Then Felix grabs a long screw and stabs Drake again. Drake drools. Felix stabs him repeatedly. He uses a screwdriver and frowns, looking anxious and disgusted.
Would you just die already? This is hard enough for me.
Drake stares at him and then looks at himself. Several tools are stabbed into his chest. He falls to his knees and drops dead as Felix stares at him. He takes off the gloves and shakes his hands. Then he grabs Drake's legs and drags him away. Aaron grabs a plank with several nails pointing up and places it in front of the door. Z stares at her from behind. Then she slowly picks up another plank with 3 nails pointing up and stands up. Aaron tests the nails on another plank as Z walks up to her slowly from behind. She lifts up the plank, and Aaron turns around.
Finish that one?
Mm-hmm.
Cool. You know, it might not be a bad idea to do at least one more. I'm gonna go check on their dad upstairs. And when the boys come up, make sure they have some rope or something.
I can do it. I can go.
Aaron turns around and looks at Z.
Do you want to come with me? We can go together.
No, it's okay. I'll just do another board.
Okay. Be careful.
Aaron walks away carrying the meat tenderizer. Z drops the plank and walks towards the staircase. Aaron walks up the stairs cautiously. She tiptoes towards a room. Downstairs, Z unlocks the front door and opens it. She leaves it half open and looks at one of the bodies. Aaron walks into Aubrey's room as the lights flicker and sees Paul's body lying next to the bed, covered in dry blood. She slowly crouches next to Paul's body. A shadow creeps up behind her, holding a machete. Aaron turns her eyes tensely and suddenly turns around and throws a meat tenderizer at the killer. She leaps up and jumps through the window. She lands hard on the ground with several cuts on her face. She rolls on the ground. She sees a piece of glass pinned to her leg. Then she looks up. The killer leans at the window wearing the fox mask. Aaron gets up and limps away into the forest. She hides in a patch of trees and sits down, wincing and shaking. She lights a flashlight and inspects the shard of glass with shaky hands. She grabs it firmly and starts pulling it out. Suddenly, she sees the pike she had used to stab one of the killers. She turns around slightly and listens. She shines the flashlight to her left and sees the killer aiming at her with a crossbow. She ducks and avoids the bolt. Then she gets up and limps away quickly as the killer bends over. She hurriedly limps across the front yard of the house. She enters the house through the front door. She locks the door, limps across the dining room, and hides behind the curtains. She sits on the floor and ties a piece of cloth around her leg. Outside, the killer walks towards the house, aiming the crossbow. He walks up to the broken front window and leans in. He sees a nailed plank placed on the floor. He hangs his crossbow over his back and climbs onto the windowsill. Another nailed plank lies closer to the wall, out of his sight. The killer steps on the nail. Z and Felix stand in Aubrey's room and look at each other. The killer stumbles forward with the plank nailed into his foot. He shakes his foot and pulls at the plank. In Aubrey's room.
Hey, would you mind checking on that? I believe this is what I'm paying you for.
The killer with the wolf mask leans away from the window and walks up to Felix. He looks at him closely and then pulls down his mask. He walks away.
Thanks.
Felix turns around and sits on the bed. He drops his head and covers his face.
What a fucking disaster.
Z walks up to him and hugs him.
It's okay, baby. I'll be over soon.
She touches his hair and kisses him. She pushes him down. She kisses him.
Not really in the mood right now, Z.
And sits on top of him.
I'll make it quick. I want you to fuck me on this bed next to your dead mom.
What? Why would you even say something like that?
You never want to do anything interesting.
I don't think that's a fair criticism.
Fuck me next to your dead mom, then.
This conversation is over.
He pushes her away and gets up. She lies next to Aubrey's body and watches him leave. Then she steals one of Aubrey's rings and puts it on. She looks at her hand. The killer downstairs pulls his foot as the other man holds the plank. Felix walks in as the killer takes off his boot and spills blood on the floor.
Whoa, wait, don't do that! You don't want your DNA in here, man!
He takes off his mask.
I'll clean it up later.
Just like the rest of this fucking mess. Excuse me? You say that like it's my fault. Listen, just so we're perfectly clear.
Erin listens from her hiding place.
Brother, because you guys keep getting beat up by some girl. I had to stab my brother more than once.
You were supposed to do that. For all the good you guys did in here, you could have stayed outside with your fucking crossbows.
The killer stands up limping.
You want to talk about brothers? That's my brother, laying dead right there. And unlike you, I liked my brother.
Look, I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I mean, I knew you guys served together. I didn't know you were related, though. And she really fucked him up good, huh?
He pins Felix against a wall.
I'm just trying to think of reasons why I shouldn't kill you.
I'll pay you more.
What's that?
You kill me, you get nothing. You pull us off, I'll give you 400,000.
Okay? I was supposed to give you 2, right? But you should have your brother's share. That's only fair.
Plus, I'll throw in an extra 100 each if we can finish this. Okay? That's 500,000 for you. 300,000 for you. Look, I won't be able to pay you until my inheritance comes through, but I'll have it soon. We just need to finish this.
The bald killer turns and looks at the bearded killer, who rolls his eyes.
We did make it this far, man.
You two better be getting enough money to pay us.
The bald killer points a finger at Felix.
Would I be doing this if I wasn't?
Erin's cell phone rings. She takes it out quickly and opens it. Felix turns around and then looks at the bearded killer.
I got it.
Erin looks at her phone. The screen reads, "Emergency message received." She looks up. The bearded killer walks across the dining room holding a machete. Erin sits up. He walks up to the curtains. Erin sees him through a slit in the curtains and lifts up her fist into fighting position. The killer opens the window and Erin strikes him. She limps away quickly. Felix walks up to the bearded man.
Get up! Get after him! Get after him!
He gets up and chases after Erin holding a crossbow. The bald killer limps up to a table and grabs the axe. Erin leaves out the kitchen door, hops over a fence, and then climbs through a back window into the house. She falls to the floor. Felix, Z, and the bearded killer dash up to the kitchen door, later followed by the bald killer, who drags his injured foot and looks around.
Okay.
He stops and slowly turns around towards the open window. He limps up to the window and leans in. Aaron stands next to the window and stabs the killer in the head with a kitchen knife. The killer stumbles backwards as Aaron picks up an axe. He drops on his back as Aaron stands at the window holding the axe. She limps away from the window. She limps into the basement cautiously and picks up a roll of string. Then she picks up a brick and limps away quickly. She walks into the hallway, grabs a chair, and stands on it. She screws a small hook over the door and hangs the axe tied to a brick from the hook above the main door. She climbs off the chair. Felix, Z, and the bearded killer run outside in the dark. They stop in front of the house.
The cops could be driving here right now for all we know. Well, what if they come across and run down the road? Do you think about that?
You need to calm down.
Don't fucking tell me to calm down, Tom. This entire situation is out of control. We don't even know what's going on.
Tom walks up to Felix.
She's hurt. She's not faster than us. You stick to the road. You don't see her. You come back here.
He turns away.
Where are you going?
Back to the house to check on Craig and to make sure she's not doubling back.
All right, give us the crossbow. Look, you got your machete. We don't have any weapons. What are you standing there for? Give it to me.
Felix snatches the crossbow.
You know how to use that thing?
Yeah, I know how to fucking use it. I pull the trigger, arrow shoots, right?
Tom stares at Felix.
Two bolts, two shots. You see her, you make it count.
Of course.
Felix walks away. Inside, Aaron looks at the axe hanging over the door. She walks up to a window and looks out. She turns around and sees Tom coming in through another window. She limps away. Tom walks into the hall. We see him through the slit in the hacked basement door. Aaron grabs a log in the basement and smashes a light bulb. She smashes another light bulb in slow motion. Then she limps up to the table next to which Felix had stabbed Drake and turns the lights off. She holds a pocket camera in her hand and turns it on. Tom walks into the basement carrying a machete with his mask down. He looks around. He sees flashes from the photo camera coming from the end of the basement. He slowly walks down the stairs and walks towards the flashes, brandishing his machete with both hands. Aaron stays still, crouched near the camera. Tom slowly walks towards the table. He covers his face as he walks closer to the blinding flash. Aaron moves in the darkness. She strikes Tom. She hits him repeatedly and hacks him with a machete. The flashes show her standing covered in blood over the killer's sliced body. She turns around and walks out of the basement. She limps slowly into the hall and looks around. She limps into the dining room very slowly. Outside, Felix aims the crossbow at her. She bends over and picks up a kitchen knife from the floor. She stands up again, shaking. She turns around slowly. A bolt pierces through the window and she falls to the floor. Felix and Zee smile and run towards the house. Felix leans in through the window and frowns.
What the fuck? I fucking hit her, didn't I? Get in there.
He helps Zee in.
Give me the crossbow. Come on.
All right. I'm right behind you.
She loads it and leaves.
Damn it.
Felix walks up to a car and opens the trunk. He unwraps a device with an antenna and turns it off. Then he picks up a pocket knife and looks at it. Zee tiptoes around the house, holding up the crossbow. She walks down a dark hallway into the kitchen. As she walks in, Aaron smacks down the crossbow and grabs her. She struggles and chokes Zee, who falls on her knees. Felix runs into the kitchen and sees them wrestling.
Fuck!
Aaron grabs a pot full of oil and throws it at Felix, who leaps back and then looks at Aaron.
It's not even hot, you dumb bitch.
He slips and falls on the floor. Zee bites Aaron's hand. Aaron smacks her in the head with a frying pan. Felix stands up and Aaron kicks the door using her good leg. The door hits Felix on the nose and he falls to the floor. Zee attacks Aaron. They struggle. Aaron chokes Zee as Felix gets up holding the pocket knife in his hand. He stabs Aaron's back and steps back. Zee moves away from Aaron, who grabs a blender glass and smashes it on Felix's head. Then she smashes the blender itself into Felix's skull. She plugs it and presses it down into Felix's skull. He convulses as the blender mashes his brain and blood spills all over his body. Aaron stands up as Zee sits down on the floor coughing. Aaron looks at Zee. Plucks the pocket knife out of her own back. And stabs Zee in the skull. Zee slides down as blood oozes out from her skull. Aaron shakes as she watches Zee die. She falls to the floor and leans against the oven, grabbing her shoulder. She turns to her left and picks a cell phone out of Felix's pocket. She looks at the phone and takes the call.
Felix. Hey. Felix, is it all done in there or what? I saw my signal came back. Is it over?
Crispin stands outside talking on his cell phone.
Look, I know you're pissed at me for not helping out. I
couldn't do it, man. I told you this might happen.
Aaron listens into the phone.
I saw Mom and the blood and...
You know I'm a pacifist. I can't deal with the violent stuff. Come on, man. I can hear you breathing on the other end of the phone. Felix. It's fucking freezing out here. I'm coming inside.
Crispin walks up to the house and climbs in through a window. He stands still and looks around in horror. Then he lifts the phone up to his ear.
Felix?
He walks slowly across the dining room.
Felix?
Aaron walks into the dining room behind Crispin. He turns around slowly and sees her listening into Felix's phone.
Aaron, you're okay.
Aaron drops the phone and stares at Crispin. He looks at her and sees she's holding a kitchen knife in her right hand. She stands motionless.
Where's Felix?
I stuck a blender in his head and killed him.
Crispin shrugs.
Oh. Okay.
I can't believe you were in on this.
Come on, babe. You do know how broke we are, right?
You would have killed me.
No. That was never supposed to happen.
Even if you hadn't meant to kill me, you must have known I could have died.
No. You were supposed to be the witness. A person with a clean record that could attest that our family and neighbors had been murdered by unknown lunatics. It was, in fact, a very important part of my plan that you be unharmed. We needed someone with no motive to see what had happened here. Someone other than Z, obviously.
He looks around at the mess.
Where is Z?
I killed her, too.
He nods.
Ah.
He looks uneasy.
Totally understand. Listen. I'm sorry. Things got so out of control. But, how are we supposed to know that you were really good at killing people? Which is actually sort of weird, by the way. Had you reacted normally, my parents and siblings would have been killed. You'd have been untouched. And we'd be rich. We'd be on our way to, like, a vacation in Paris.
Crispin smiles at her excitedly.
Maybe an engagement? Okay. Okay. There is a silver lining here, by the way. I'm now the sole inheritor of my family's estate. We're talking millions, babe. You. Me. Us. Look, regardless of our current situation or whatever we're going through right now, it would be insane to throw that away. I mean, look at all that would be wasted.
He looks around.
I understand. It might take a while to make this up to you. But in the meantime, let's think about this logically. I know you've got your student loans. How would $500,000 go towards fixing that problem? You could quit your bartending job, just study full time. You know you hate that job. You could have $500,000 within the month. Or I go to jail. Then you get nothing.
She looks down with watery eyes.
Hey, I love you.
She looks at him.
I promised you that I'd come back, didn't I? Here I am.
He looks into her eyes. She stabs him in the neck. He falls to the ground, grabbing the wound and losing blood abundantly. She looks at him as her mouth trembles and tears fill her eyes. He struggles to look up at her.
What? Why the fuck not?
She stabs the kitchen knife into his eye, and Crispin falls dead. A bullet hits Erin and she falls down. A policeman stands in the window holding up a gun. He leans in, stunned, and looks around. He lowers the gun slowly. He turns around and walks away from the window. Erin lies against Crispin's body, breathing heavily. She slowly turns around. The policeman leans into his patrol car and grabs his radio.
We need medic and backup immediately at 5 Edelweiss Drive.
He leans on the car looking very pale and rubs his face. Erin drags herself on the floor as the policeman walks towards the house. He stands next to the front door holding up his gun. Erin lifts up her head as the policeman opens the door. In slow motion, he walks into the house. He triggers Aaron's trap.
No, don't!
The string unties and he looks up as the axe cuts into his face. The blood splatter draws the words, "You're next," against a black background and drips down slowly. End credits. An animation, police files with pictures and names of cast appear. Sharni Vinson as Erin. Nicholas Tucci as Felix. Wendy Glenn as Z. AJ Bowman as Crispin. Joe Swanberg as Drake. Sarah Myers as Kelly. Amy Siemens as Amy. Ty West as Tariq. Rob Moran as Paul. Barbara Crampton as Aubrey. Edited and directed by Adam Wingard. Written by Simon Barrett. Elsie Holt as Bald Killer. Simon Barrett as Bearded Killer. Lane Hughes as the Fox Mask. Describe video created by John Hubbard Productions, Toronto.